We said Perek Yud Aleph. We're going to talk about some of the things that the Rishayim do, but again, mostly in the same vein that we've been speaking until now. Now it's less Mishalim and more like pithy sayings. That's really where we got to right now. Mosnim Yir Mitzvahs Hashem. The scales that, you know, when a person does tricks on them, that's an abomination of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, Ve'em Mishalim Meretzo. No, a full weight is his will. The word Toeva is used to describe, you know, scales that are wrong in the Torah itself. Meaning, when we talk about scales that are whatever it is, it's still called a Toavas Hashem. An abomination of a Kadosh Baruch Hu is obviously something that he considers disgusting, but obviously it's beyond the boundaries of what a society can live with. And therefore, because of that, these scales that you have that are off, you can't live in a society where people are cheating on each other. Obviously, it could happen, right? But you can't have that gezel happening constantly, one after the other. Evan Shlema Ritzono. The Evan Shlema is what he wants. He wants you to have Evan Shlema in your pocket. In other words, something that is completely full, which means you have to check constantly. The word is, and I don't know if this is true or not, that the Chafetz Chaim, who originally had a store, he had a store for about 7 or 8 years, closed it down because he was worried that he kept cheating people on his scales. And he wasn't worried. The Chafetz Chaim checked it every morning and every evening, made sure that everything was straight and whatever it was, but he kept thinking something was wrong.
100%.
It sounds like OCD-ish, right, which is why I don't like it for the Chafetz Chaim. I'm saying that's what people say. I find it really hard.
But even if it's true, I mean, it doesn't mean that, okay, fine.
That other people are wrong for doing so.
No, I'm saying that maybe he was going too far. But why are you saying it's wrong for Chafetz Chaim? I mean, I don't know if it's a true story or not, but I've heard the story also. But why can't it be true?
It can be. It seems a little extreme. Seems a little too extreme. Like, if you're going to have a business,
story
what are you
that he once found that there was
do.
A mistake, so he went door
right,
to door.
Right, went door to door
and
gave everybody something,
whatever it was
a little bit amount.
Saw.
These are hard to understand, but yeah, yes, definitely, we can have understand them. But that's what it means, Tavish Shalom to know. Buzz Zodom, Yavo Kalom. So when Zodom comes, when a person starts doing things bemazed, right?
Yavo Kalom. I mean, I guess it depends what it is, or also those days. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think there are places that they'll weigh it, and then, like, if you're buying, like, dates or something, they'll throw in one or two more after they weigh it.
Yeah, maybe he did, maybe that would be an easy way of getting around it. You're giving the guy extra, you know, that would be a good way. Beva kolom, and then there's shame. This tsnuim chokma. So if a person has zadon, in the end there will be some type of disgrace. Don't think that you're going to get away with what you've been doing. Somebody's going to find out about it. But tsnuim, people that act with modesty, even in places where they think people aren't looking, that's chokma. That's very smart. Because obviously, when a person acts modestly in their own, you know, their own home, when nobody else is around, then they'll know nothing bad will happen to them when they go around. If a person walks around their house, listen, there's nothing wrong with this in theory, right? But a person walks around their house without clothes on, it could be that a window's open and somebody sees them. So it's just not a smart thing to do. That's all it is when it comes down to that. And that's the idea behind it. Also, when a person is wise, they'll listen to other people and they'll go around and stuff like that. Over here, this story took place by the Marshal. Again, this is a story that I'm not positive I fully understand this, but it's possible. So the Marshal had a neighbor that was known as Reb Avram, the vegetable man, right? The Yerek guy, the guy who sold Yerakos. Right, so this guy never spoke to anyone unless it concerned something specifically regarding his livelihood or whatever, but he never talked to anybody otherwise. One night, Reb Shlomo, Reb Marshal, overheard Reb Avram learning a certain part of Gemara with a very, very big chiddush and whatever it is, right? So the Marshal pulled him in and asked him a very, very deep question on that sugya. And the guy said, I don't know what you're talking about. I've never done that before in my life. The Marshal said, I overheard you. I know you know this sugya. You were doing it and you had a big chiddush on it. I want to hear you say it. The guy,
who was he saying the finish to when he heard him?
He was just saying it to himself, you know, saying it out loud, whatever. So the Marshal said, he told the Marshal, he said, fine, I'll do it, but you have to, I'm begging you, don't tell anyone in the town. No one can know that I know how to learn. At the end of his life, when the Marshal was dying, this is where I find it to be a little strange. The Marshal said, the person who will take my place as the Rav of this town is Reb Avram. That's the person who's going to take over, and Reb Avram took over. Now, the reason why I doubt this is because...
They told people.
Yeah. I mean, at the end, yes. Lublin was a huge town. And Lublin, to be the Rav of Lublin, I'm sure there was a line of people outside. Marshal also had a huge yeshiva with 300, 400 people.
Oh, that is his gravesite.
Yeah, in Lublin. It just doesn't make any sense that he would have a nobody take over. That he would just have somebody who wasn't known.
He didn't realize he was not a nobody.
Yeah, but it still seems strange. There wouldn't be somebody in line, even his son. So, yeah, Lublin has actually really good records that go through this sort of stuff. So you'd think that this would be an obvious thing to look up. I didn't look it up before I saw it, but when I saw this story in the Mamloys, I was sitting there and I was like, Okay, I get the idea. The idea behind it is he was a tenua. He worked hard on himself. And look, he ended up being the Rav of the city of Lublin, a huge city with full of Torah scholars. But nonetheless, I don't know if this story is completely true. I'd like to see that story. You know, I'd like to see it. I would share what it means, by the way, is that if he wasn't the Rav of the city, he was the rabbi of a certain shul, or he was one of the rabbeim in yeshiva. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's what he became. But to be the full Roshiva, the full Rav, I don't know. Tumas Yesharim Tamchein, when you have Yesharim, there's an integrity.
The bigger question is, the guy told him, don't tell anybody. Right. So and by he said saying, afterwards. I want him to be the rabbi.
Like, very good call. Yeah. Tamchein, that sort of guides them. The integrity of the Yesharim, that's what guides them. Sometimes you have kashas, and that's good. You should have kashas in life. Well, if you have integrity, if you know, a Yashar person allows his innocence to be able to do things when he is of Selef Bogdim Yeshadim, but the deviousness of those who are bad people, that destroys them and everything they try to do. That's the idea behind it, because in the end, it just destroys them because they think they want X and it just doesn't happen. Lo Yoholm Biyom Evro. On the day when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets angry, none of your riches will be able to save you. On the day of your death, there's nothing that a person can do to pay off death, to pay off the Malach HaMavis. There's nothing you can do for that. At the end of the day, if a person is supposed to chas v'shalom die, that's what's going to be. It's not going to avail you to be able to go ahead. Maybe you could bribe a judge, maybe you could bribe, but you're not going to bribe the Malach HaMavis. Utzedakah tatzumim avas. As we'll see later on, this is a line that we're going to say, tzedakah saves a person from death. As we talked about before, right, that line, we spoke about Rabbi Kiva's daughter. Yeah, it is very, very interesting. How many times? I only counted two. But there might have been more. Tzidkas tamim tiashador ko. The tzedakah of the tamim of those people are, again, tamim would be a person who acts with perfection or innocence.
Meaning, you can't pay off death, but you can pay off other people.
Very, very good. You're right. I should have mentioned that. That tzedakah will save you from coming into the Malach HaMavis. Once the Malach HaMavis is there, right, there's no way to get out of it. But before the Malach HaMavis is there, before Mavis comes in, the Malach comes into play, you have a way of getting out of it. There's a very easy way of getting out of it. So tzidkas
tamim. But you're saying, even if it's someone's time, but they, like, it was last week you were talking about Rabbi Akiva, and he put the thing, or was it 2 weeks ago? I don't remember. He put
the daughter. Yeah.
I mean, that's the same thing. She was supposed to die, but then because she gave tzedakah, she
correct.
Was saved.
She was able to be saved.
So it means that you can pay. You're not paying off death. You're paying
off. So it could be that's paying off before the Malach HaMavis comes.
You're
that's
doing
what you call
something
it.
That keeps him away.
Yeah, it keeps him away. Tzidkas tamim tiyashar darko, again, that tzedakah will straighten your path. But again, the wicked man is going to fall, and the wickedness that he does. Tzidkas yisharim tayyalem, right? Is that word tayyalem, by the way? I missed that up in Vav. The tzedakah of the yisharim saves them? Is it tatzilem? Yeah, okay. Uvahavas bogdim yilachedu, and the malice of those who are faithless, they get caught, right? Their own troubles and everything they do. Pasuk Zayin, b'moz adam rasha tova tikva. When a rasha dies, his hope is gone. V'socheles onim avada, right? The hope of all evil men perishes. Now, the idea behind this is there are two hopes that a rasha has. Number one is he hopes to do tshuva before he dies. But once he dies, it's too late for him ever to do tshuva again. Right, so the hope of the Russia is now gone because there's no way he's going to be able to juva. Number two, his hope, the hope of the wicked, is to rule over everybody else. He hasn't realized it in this world. He tried really hard, but he hasn't realized it. So therefore, he loses that when he dies. He no longer can rule over everybody in the world. Tzadik mara nechalatz. A tzadik will be saved from trouble, mara. Vayavo rasha tachtav. And a rasha will take it in its place. Lots of times, there's lots of weird types of things where there's something called chiluf, where a person can take the sickness or the evil that they have and put it upon somebody who's a rasha. There's a whole Kabbalistic practice of doing this, of taking the cancer of others and putting it upon somebody else, etc. You know, things like that, which is a very, very interesting thing. But it's this pasuk is really saying it'll be placed instead. But this is really through HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not through a Kabbalist, whether they're real or not. The flatterer, right, with his mouth destroys his friend. The tzaddikim are rescued through their own das. By working with themselves and refining everything they say, they're able to really perfect themselves when they need to do. When things go well for the righteous, well, the whole city is going to rejoice. Everybody's happy, right? Tzaddikim are going well. Everybody's like, whoa, look at what happened to that. That's awesome. Look what happened to him. Ba'avod Rishayim. And when the Rishayim perish, Rina, everybody sings. There's a song behind it right over here. There's a mitzvah, according to the Gemara, to testify against the murderers. And they learn it from right over here, Ba'avod Rishayim Rina. Because there is something. Maybe you should say, Why should I kill somebody? Why should I allow somebody to be killed through my testimony? No, ba'avad rishayim rina. This is the best thing that a person can do. That's when it's good, because you see everything there. Because yisharim, tarum kares. When the bracha of the yisharim, when you have a bracha from yisharim, tarum kares, the whole city gets raised up. There's a level that everybody's brought to. With few rishayim te'ares. But it's torn down by the mouths of the wicked. When you have the mouths of the wicked people saying wicked things, you can tear down an entire city. That means like a guy coming into the city and says, wow, this city is amazing. So everybody sees the great people there. They just want to be a part of it. So it's just like, wow, this is the most amazing thing in the world. That builds up a city. All a Russian needs to do is go up and be like, your leader's bad. You don't have any good city, whatever it is. You just say bad things and immediately all these bad things happen. Pasuk Yud Beis over here, it says, Bozel Reyu Chaser Lev, a guy who despises his friend, he's missing something. He doesn't get it, right? If you just show your despicableness to somebody else, you're not getting it, right? Obviously, anybody can find things that are wrong. The key is to find things that are right, that are good. The ish tumunos yacharish, a man that understands will be silent. He'll just be silent. If he has nothing good to say, don't say anything at all, right? There's nothing good to say. It's really hard when it comes to stuff like that, but never, ever go into that and say buzz. Buzz is like the worst, the despising things about your friend. Holik Rachel Megala Said, a guy who goes around bearing tales, he eventually reveals secrets. You cannot trust a guy like that. Veneman Ruach Mechasedover, a guy who's trusty his spirit, he'll cover up things when needs to be said. You know, it's very difficult when dealing with Shaduchim, and people call me up and they'll ask me something about this person and that person. If I know about the person that something is a little bit off, like if they ask direct questions that are very, very direct, it's difficult. It's very difficult. I've had a lot of conversations with the rabbi first about what I can and what I can't say. A person calls me up, a person who is a Baal Tshuva, right? And the family wants to know, right, did this person do X? Well, I can't say such a thing.
Before they became religious?
Yeah. I don't want to say religious. They were religious, just, you know, in a different level of religiousness at the time. Yeah. And now they're holding in a different place. So when he was that, is that what he did? One of the famous questions, this question I'm probably asked every single time, does he watch movies? Now, the answer, most of the time, by any guy that I'm dealing with, is yes. Okay? But the person that's asking on the phone, I know, wants to know. Now, his daughter most likely watches movies either, also. It's the reason why they're set up with the Skokie guy, right? But there's a way of saying it. Like, the way that I say it when I know that that person is a movie watcher and I know that that person's not looking for it, is I say...
He doesn't own a TV.
No, that doesn't matter anymore. I think we all know that, right? But I just say something like along the lines of, he's not that type of guy. If he watches movies, he watches in a social setting or whatever it is. He's not the type of guy to be the movie guy. Because I know what they want. They hear like, oh yeah, he watches movies. If I would answer, just like, yeah, he's a movie guy. What difference does it make? They think to themselves like, oh my gosh, this guy's watching 70 movies a week. Okay. Not the truth. That's not what it is. You just have to say it in a way that's like that. You're just mechasedover in that way. Yeah.
You were talking about two things about this pasuk. Well, first, to your point, if somebody said, I mean, if they ask directly, it's very hard. Mm-hmm. But if somebody really has a problem, even if they don't ask,
oh, that's a problem. Yeah, if there's an issue in which I think that person should not get married for, or this shidduch will not work out, this is a Beis Yaakov girl, and this is not a Beis Yaakov guy, right? If that's a situation, then yeah, I'll say it beforehand. For sure. But how do you say that? So the way that I usually do it is I say, like, this isn't the most matim. Who set this up? Speak to the shadchan directly and say you might want to be switching who you're talking about. If it's something that might be hidden, if it's something that they'll find out in the first date, then I don't even bother. I'll say some things, but they'll figure it out on their own. But I don't remember. Maybe on a handful of people have I said this is not, like, when I've been called up for a shidduch and I've said this is not a good shidduch. Stop this right now. Maybe on tops 5 times. But I say, like, let them go out, let them figure it out on their own. But if there's something really bad, like, I remember there was a guy who was should not be getting married, and for some reason he put me on his shidduch resume. But I was adamant he should not be getting married, and they called me up and I said, listen, I never do this. I am telling you, get out. This is not the shidduch you want for your daughter. And it's because I told the guy, I don't know why you put me on a shidduch resume, but like, he should not be getting married. There were two things that were serious, serious issues that he was not taking care of. And I said, like, this is a no, right? And those things were, you know, that not, these weren't little things. Like,
thanks,
he watched a movie. This isn't like you watching a movie. This is like serious, serious issues. And I was like, no.
And on that movie thing, though, what if somebody doesn't watch movies? Not because they're so firm, just because their own vocation is to sit and watch a movie for 2 hours.
Yeah, so that usually those things can be answered up, you know? You, like, get around them.
You're not getting around them. Yeah, the answer is he doesn't watch movies.
Yeah, he doesn't.
But not because of the reasons you want to talk
about. No, but I wouldn't say that. I wouldn't say that one.
But this puzzle here, says, what if I feel like so... It's very, I mean, if you hear people who are very gossipy people, mm-hmm. and they're always telling gossip, it's a huge turnoff, because not only is it like, why do you feel the need to talk about everybody else? It's like, what are you saying about me behind my back? Like, you got to, so don't tell secrets to the guy who's a gossiper,
yeah,
because
good,
what he's telling you about everybody else, he's going to go tell everybody else.
I was at a meal, and the person, the woman in the house says, you know, I hate people that are Lashon Hara, they're tail bearers, whatever. And I said, that's amazing. That's
like
a good
so-and-so.
Whatever it is. Right. And then she said, like, I see all the time by X, Y, and Z. And I was just like, oh my gosh. Like, I didn't say anything. I like nodded my head. I was like, oh, it is terrible. Could not believe it. Fazik Yedalit. Be'ain Tavbulos Yibalam. When there's no wise counsel, when there's no strategy, people fall. If you don't have a strategy going in, can you imagine a football team going in and the coach is just like, let's just play, guys. Let's pretend you're in a park. Like, nobody's going to win that way. Yeshua Barov Yoetz. The way you have Yeshua is when you have a lot of advisors around. Now, again, a lot of advisors is good, but there has to be one guy making a decision. You can't have multiple decision makers in one area. If you have multiple decision makers, things do not go well. But to have one decision maker together with a bunch of advisors, that's a great idea. Ra Yeroa.
Does it help if the decision maker has a Twitter account?
Usually not. Raya Roa, or Twitter is not as much as, you know, Instagram, etc. Raya Roa ki Arav Zar, right? Harm comes upon somebody who is an Arav for a stranger. Remember, we started off not too long ago with one of the Prakim. If you become you take on the pledge for a stranger. You promise to pay back if the guy doesn't pay it back.
Guarantor.
For someone you don't know, a guarantor for someone you don't know. Sony Token Boteach. You know who's good? A guy who hates shaking hands. You don't want to get involved in these deals. Don't do it. A guy came up to me not too long ago. A good guy, great guy, comes up to me and says, I need to take a loan out. Don't worry, I'm for sure going to pay it back. Do you mind being my guarantor for me? Right? And I said, I can't. Because if I had that money to just give away, I'd be fine. But I can't sign myself up for $10,000 because I'd be on the hook for $10,000, right? I don't have $10,000 just sitting around saying, like, sure, just in case, whatever it is. I remember not too long ago, the person in this shul who told me, I went up to him and I said, we're looking for something for X, Y, and Z. Is there any way you can help out? He's just like, I'll tell you, I just was a guarantor for a loan for $300,000 and it went off and I had to pay back the $300,000. This isn't the best time for me. I'm like, come back tomorrow, same time. But this happens. Eishes chen tismoch kavod, a woman of chen, a woman of grace, right? She sustains her hour, she honors, she keeps her honor. V'aritzim yismochu oisher, men of power sustain riches. People that have the ability to do it in the right way. You sustain things if you're doing it in the right way. Goman afshe ish chesed, a person who benefits his soul is a man of chesed. You want to know what real chesed is? Real chesed is working on your soul, helping out your soul from your body. V'ocher she'ero achzari, a guy who troubles his relatives and tries to do things, whatever, and get his relatives to do X, Y, and Z for him. That person is cruel. That's dealing with an ultimate cruelty, something that's not there. Russia isepula sheker. The Russia does things that are just filled with sheker. Via zorea tzedakah secher emes. However, if you sow tzedakah, you keep doing tzedakah in one way after the other, secher emes. That's a good reward. A good reward comes for that person over here. Some say this refers to people that are pretending to do good. They express things like them. That might be something. Kade tzedakah l'chayim. Tzedakah leads to life, as we said. Meradif ra lamoso. But if chasing after evil leads to death. Tov as Hashem ikshe lev. Another abomination to HaKadosh Baruch Hu are those who are perverse. Ritzonu tamimei derech. What Hashem wants is people that are tamim. A person who's trying to get around everything, trick other people, or say, like, see God, I did this, and whatever it is, that's not the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu ever wants anyone to be. Do you want somebody who's just getting around everything, right, and being around? That's not what you want. Yad le'yad lo yinak yaro. Hand for hand against hand, the evil man will not go unpunished. Vizar tzadikim nimlot, and the children of tzadikim, they will always escape. Now that I look at this, there's something that we learned out from over here. I forgot what it is. Yad li yad lo yinake ra is a pasuk that we use in a gemara. Is there a gemara that it quotes for yad li yad lo yinake ra for this pasuk? You won't have it.
Wait, what is it?
It's after the Rebbe Kiva Gemaras. It's Samach Samach Beis Menalv or Samach Beis Menalv. it's going to be some Chavon Beis is the end of the Rebbe Kiva Gemara, and then goes to the next one. There's a story that goes with this, and I just don't know what it is. That you won't be, okay, I can't remember what it is exactly. Oh, I can't remember. Anyway, the idea about over here is that Tzadikim's children will escape. Here's a shot. Nechunya ben Hakana devoted himself to digging wells for the Oli Regalim, so that they would always have water to drink when they came to Yerushalayim. His daughter fell into a hole, right? His daughter fell into a pit or whatever it was, right? So they went up to Rechini Medosa. I think it was Rechini Medosa. Rechini Medosa said, the first hour said, she's alive. Second hour, she's alive. Third hour said, she's already up. Right, because she'd be dead if she weren't pulled up already. She's already up. So how do you know? You're a Navi? Lo Naviani, lo Ben Naviani. No, but there's no way that Nechunya ben Akana, who used to make wells for the people where Oli were going, could have his daughter die in a well. Just impossible. Couldn't have happened. And they found the daughter. She had escaped. Somehow she was pulled up, and whatever it was, right? That's the idea behind it over here. But Zeret Tzadikim Nimlot. Nezem Zov Af Chazir. You know what it's like? A gold ring in the nose of a pig. Isha Yafa Vasaras Tam, when you have a beautiful woman who lacks the right taste, a person who goes about it in the wrong way, right? A very beautiful woman. When a woman acts in a way that's prutzadik and znus and whatever it is, she could be a beautiful woman, but that's a golden ring in the nose of a pig. How dare you? How could you have done this thing? How could you have done this? Taiva Tzadikim Achtoiv, while the Taiva of Tzadikim is for good things, Tikvas Rishayim Evra, while the Hope of Rishayim only leads to more and more anger. Yishmefazer Nosef Ode, there are people who give out money and they add on more for themselves, meaning they give out all their money and yet they take in more from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem gives them back more and more and more and more. That's the idea of a person giving tzedakah. V'chosech miyosher ach l'maksor, those who insist on doing the right thing, right? Choshech miyosher. If they hold back from doing the right thing, ach l'maksor, all it will do for you is give you a loss. When it comes to Torah itself, try to make sure that you have everything there when it comes to it. Now, there's a famous story in the Tainis Daf Kafe, Elazar ben Partusa, his daughter was of marriageable age, she was like 6 or whatever, right? So he had money, he was saved up for that. The problem is, Rabbi Elazar ben Partusa, whenever he would go in the street and a Gabbai Tzedakah would see him, he would give away all of his money. He'd give the Gabbai Tzedakah all of his money. So the Gabbai Tzedakah saw him when he was in the street, right? He was in the shuk. The Elazar ben Partusa saw him and started running after him. The Gabbai Tzedakah ran away, right? Eventually, Elazar ben Partusa caught up to him and said, what are you collecting for? So the Gabbai Tzedakah said, I'm collecting for an orphan who needs to get married. He said, I swear that orphan comes before my daughter, and he gave him everything that was in his pocket. He had one coin left. He took that coin, he bought wheat, took the wheat home, and threw it inside his silo, went back into the house. His daughter saw him come back from the shuk with a little bit of wheat, throw it into the silo, and said, Dad, what do you get for my dowry? Right? I mean, I'm getting older. So her father said, everything's in the silo. The wife and the daughter went out to the silo. The silo was bursting with wheat. Like, everything was inside there. Right? She came back and said, look what your loved one did for you. Look what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for you. And Elazar Partusa, crazy, swore that he wouldn't get Hanah from a single bit of wheat because he didn't want to benefit from Maisa Nisim, from miraculous things.
But his wife and daughter did.
Yeah, at the end of the day, I don't think he allowed them to use it. There's no like ending to the story of like, and he got something else for his daughter. I don't know what the end of the story is. I have no idea what to do in that case. But the pshat is that somebody who's mefazer of Inosaf Ode, if he's mefazer, he gives out, he'll get everything back. Chav hey, nefesh bracha to dushan, the bracha, a nefesh of bracha, he's going to get more and more. Marve gamu yore, and somebody who gives refreshment, satisfaction to others, is going to be refreshed and satisfied himself. Monea bar, but if you withhold grain from others, yikvu la'oim, people will curse you. Bracha l'rosh mashbir, a bracha will be upon the head of those who disperse and give it out to other people. You hold back, the Chazal learned from over here, if you hold back knowledge of halacha from a certain person, and you're supposed to tell them, we talked about this before, right? If you know that student is supposed to have a certain halacha or certain things that you know, and you're not giving it to him, then you get punished. You get punished. Even the fetuses in the mother's womb punish that guy. Even they curse him out and say, how could you dare do that when it comes to that? That's that. Shokar tovi vakesh ratzon. One who seeks good will always get the ratzon of Hashem. Vidorish roi tivoenu. This guy who searches out for evil, it will come upon him no matter what. He's always going to get it. Boteh ba'ashu yipol. Somebody who trusts in his wealth, that man will eventually fall. That's not going to be good. Ha'olot tzadikim yifrachu. But the righteous, they will flourish like leaves. The reason why it says leaves over anything else is because although fruit might take a while and there's not so many, leaves are everywhere and they happen really quickly. Like all of a sudden a tree didn't have any leaves, then the next day there's leaves all over the tree. Right? It comes comes out really quickly. So to over here, like tzaddikim, they'll flower just like everything else. It'll be tremendous. Obviously, this is true and altruistic type of lifestyle, and that's that. Some say this refers to Mordechai and Haman. That Mordechai is the person who's ke'olot tzaddikim yifrachu, but te'apa asher hu yipol, he assured himself in his riches, that was Haman. That's why he fell. Okar basin yichal ruach, somebody who troubles his own house, goes around to his relatives. Yichal ruach, all he'll get is the wind, because his family doesn't want to be with him. Nobody else wants to be around. So even if he has riches at the end of his life, nobody wants to go near him. The eved avil lechakam lev, the foolish won't be a slave to a person who's really wise. Pritzadik etz chayim, the fruit of the righteous man is an etz chayim. Obviously, etz chayim hilam achazikim buk, if you're referring to Torah, that the real fruit of a tzaddik is the Torah that he gives out. Lokeach nefashos chacham, person who takes souls is a wise man. This is an interesting line. Rabbi Yehuda Nasi called that upon the Rebbeim that he did. What Rabbi Yehuda Nasi did toward the end of his life is really interesting. He went to go find his colleagues' children and grandchildren to make sure they were still on the derech. So Rabbi Yehuda Nasi found Rabbi Elazar b'Rabbi Shimon's son. Rabbi Elazar b'Rabbi Shimon's son. This is Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai's grandson, Rabbi Yossi. Found out where he was, saw that, this is what the Gemara says, every zona who was rented for 4 zuz paid him 8 zuz. That's what it says about Rabbi Yossi.
Wait, right? Why is it called Rabbi Yossi if they were paying him?
Because in the end, he went up to him, and this is what he did. This is brilliant. So he made him into a Rebbe, put him in yeshiva, made him into a Rebbe, put him under Rabbi Yossi ben Lacunya, a guy named Rabbi Yossi ben Lacunya. And every time Rabbi Yossi ben Rabbi Elazar wanted to go to the, you know, to his zonas, every time Rabbi Yossi ben Lacunya said, "You're a Rebbe now, you can't do that. How can you do that?" And he stopped. And he ended up being this huge Talmud Chacham. Rabbi Yehuda Nasi came back later, and he heard the voice, Rabbi Yossi ben Rabbi Elazar, and he said, "That sounds like my friend Rabbi Elazar, his old friend Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon." Right? And they said, "That's his son, it's Rabbi Yossi." And he said, "Lokeach nefashos chacham." That somebody who takes the souls out of the depths of where they were is a chacham. So to, I believe it was Rabbi Yishmael's son. I don't remember who the other one was. But he did the same thing. And this one, he did even more. He took this one and he gave him a wife. I think he gave him his daughter as his wife. Another person who was like Zonas 4, 8, whatever it was. And that person also became a tzaddik and whatever it was. And again, he called
Why was he giving his daughter to a guy who was with
Why did Rabbi Yochanan give it to Rish Lakish, his sister Rish Lakish? I think it's the same thing. Like, yeah, there was something there that he
understood. They didn't
know about
diseases, I guess.
That didn't affect tzaddikim. Come on.
Well, they weren't tzaddikim when they were doing it.
Yeah, I know. I hear you. I definitely hear you. Maybe it didn't last long. Hein tzaddik ba'aretz yishulam. Behold, the righteous man will be paid back here. Afki rosh v'chote. How much more so the wicked man and the sinner, that something will be given back to him. Okay, so now we're in Parak Yud Beis over here. Now we're going into, again, the good and the wicked man, a little bit similar. We're going to talk about the Eishes Chaya. Oiv Musar, Oiv Das. If you love Musar, you're going to love knowledge, because that's the way it is. Musar leads to proper knowledge. Soni Tochachas Boar. Somebody who hates the Musar that other people give him is just a fool. He's just a nobody. He's never going to gain anything in life, because anytime somebody tries saying something to him, "Hey, David, I think maybe, etc." Right? You sit there like, "No, you don't know what you're talking about." You're never going to gain anything from it. You're just going to keep doing what you're doing. At some point, earlier today in Second Seder, it was difficult. The guys were definitely spacing out like monkeys. If monkeys could space out, this is like literally. And every time we went over it again and again and again, by the fourth time I said, like, "Guys, I'm so sorry, I can't do this anymore." And I just got up. I'm like, I can't. Like, every time I look over, like, this guy's like that, the other guy's like that. I'm like, I can't compete with like Fortnite. I just can't. There's like nothing. There's nothing I can do.
But at least you
Baruch
know
Hashem,
you don't know.
You know every kid is playing it. Every kid is playing it. Right. I know where I'm going. It's a game. But everybody is playing it. Everyone. The whole world is playing it. So either way, regardless, like, I just can't compete. So I like got up. And later on, I came back and I brought them and like whatever. I did other things instead. I just went on to something else. And like, "You guys aren't into Gemara today, so we'll do something else entirely."
But sometimes
I wrote it. I know. I wrote a text message. I wrote them afterward and I said, "Listen, I'm sorry." You know,
you like, text them while they're on their phone.
They weren't on their phone. They weren't on their phone. They were just spacing out. That was part of
these
the problem. It wasn't like
the
they were at their phone.
Or
it
or
was
the high
like, space matters. Space matters. So I texted them back afterward and I said, like, "Listen, guys, I'm sorry. You know, like, I shouldn't have. I should have like waited a little bit longer. That happens. That's just what happens over here." Now, if a guy who wouldn't take that, a guy who was like, "No, I was right, because they should have been paying attention." I know they should have been paying attention, but if you don't do that, you're never going to gain anything. It doesn't go anywhere. Let's go around. Tov yafik ratzon mi'Hashem. It's good to obtain what the ratzon of Hashem is. V'ish mizimah z'hershia. A man of devices, wicked devices, all he gets is mizimah. He gets all the condemnation from other people, and that's that. You don't get anything else from anybody else. You're not going to get anything better. Now, there is a great story over here from Moshe Galanti. I don't know if everybody's heard this when it comes down to it. It really, the honest truth is, it has nothing to do with this pasuk. So I'm not going to say it. But it happens to be a famous story of Moshe Galanti, how he brought the rain, and a guy would, like, you know, smacked him in the face beforehand. Then when the rain came, the guy, like, begged Moshe Galanti and eventually became a ger or whatever it was. And happily ever after, that man is Rav Eliashiv, I guess. But it was... Moshe Galanti, there were three of them, actually. All three of Moshe Galantis were big tzaddikim and kubbalim living in the 15, 16, and 1700s.
Were they grandsons of each other?
I don't think they were related at all. I don't think any of them were related. But they were very, very famous tzaddikim that they all have crazy stories. Yerushalayim and Tzfas, they were all living in Eretz Yisrael. The question is where exactly. But again, they're legends. It's like Baal Shem Tov legends. You can't tell if they're true or not, but the stories are absolutely unbelievable stories, like the best stories in the world. It says in Pasuk Gimel, Lo Yikun Adam Beresha, a person cannot be established within wickedness. Shor Shadikim Ba'yimot, the root of the righteous, however, will never fall. In other words, if a person tries to use his rishus and, like, plant himself in the ground, it's not going to happen because people will uproot him and they'll get rid of him and they don't want him there. But the shorish of tzaddikim, a tzaddik himself, right, his root will never fall. Meaning, even though, obviously, you know, if you're swinging in the wind, you might go this way and that way. The tzaddik might go all the way, but the roots are going to remain. See, even if this is gone, something else is going to come in its place. If you make a foundation, other things will be built off it. A woman who does the right thing and is a good woman is the crown of her husband. Meaning the husband will sit around saying, my wife is the greatest wife in the world. And most people will feel that way about their wives. They'll say, my wife is the greatest wife in the world, because that they consider that Eishes Chayil. Okay, Rakabatmosa Mivisha. But one who acts shamefully, not yet, but one who acts shamefully is like rottenness in his bones. It's like ruck of... In other words, if you have a woman, a wife, who is not acting in that way, right, and is going around and being prutzidik, etc., then it's just rotten in your bones. You can't get rid of it. No matter what you say, right, it's just not working. It's very, very, very difficult to deal with that. Makshavos tzedikim mishpat, the thoughts of tzedikim are all just and right. Tachbulos rashayim mirma, but the schemes of the wicked are all very, very unjust. They're very, very filled with deceit. That's what he wants. His whole mind is filled with, how do I trick? How do I get the next thing? Divrei Rashaim Erev Dam. The words of the Rashaim are to lie. Just wait for the blood to come. Wait for that to happen. Fi Yisharim Yayi Lame. The mouth of the Rashaim will save, Yatsi Lame, I'm sorry, will save them from the things that happen to them in their lives. That's the idea behind it. Now again, Divrei Rashaim Erev Dam, but Fi Yisharim Yatsi Lame. The reason why Hushaya Arki did what he did for David HaMelech. Remember, David HaMelech sent Hushaya Arki back to Avshalom to tell Avshalom, you know, advice or whatever, so that David HaMelech, he was a double agent, exactly, right? The mouth of the upright. If you can trust this guy, that's what you should do. I don't know if I have a Hushaya Arki in my life. If I know that there's an enemy in my midst and whatever it is, and I need to send somebody to be a double, how do I know that he's really looking out for my best? I have very good friends, but do I know that person will be there? Pi Yisharim Yatzi Lame. He has to be a yusher, a real yusher, and then he can trust that guy. Hafok Roshayim Veinam. The Roshayim will be overthrown. They'll no longer be. Beis Tzadikim Yamod. The house of the Tzadikim will stand forever. Because again, even if the Tzadikim will die, the house of the Tzadikim will stand forever. What they stood for, whether it's through their Talmidim or through their children or whatever, something will last. Levi Sichlo Yolo Ish. A man is condemned according to, or I should say condemned, a man is praised according to his intelligence. Your seichel, right? Your seichel. Do you act with seichel or not? Venave lev yelavuz. Somebody who's perverse, right? Who just does terrible things. Everybody will despise him when it comes down to it. So again, this goes with a person who hears somebody talking about something and says, is that a good idea or not? Somebody who just says, like, you know what? That's a good idea. Let's think about it for a little bit, right? Let's think about that. Shisichel yolish. That's the way you do things. However, a nave lev yelavuz, all you say is, that's a bad idea. I heard a great idea this week, something really good that I thought was an awesome idea. It's like, you know, that takes a little bit of whatever it is. Let's think about it, whatever. He went, the person who gave this idea, you know, it's for the whole Pittsburgh thing, something that we could do as a community. He went over to somebody else, and that other person said, you don't need that, it's not full. And it's like, I looked at it and I was like, I don't know, to knock out a good idea, whether you agree with it or not, but to knock it out just like that, instead of saying, let's think about it for a little bit. I don't know, I really don't like that. That's not good when it boils down to it. All right, Tov Nikla Ve'Eved Lo, it's better to be Nikla, you know, like lightly esteemed, you're okay, a little bit. The Evidlo, be your own servant. I'm sorry? Nave Lev is to be perverse, to have a perverse heart. Tov nikla ve'evit lo. Mimiskabe v'chaser lechem. Somebody who's pompous, he has honorable chaser lechem. In other words, to be, you know, work hard, right, and to be a guy who like only has a little bit of kavod is better than having a ton of kavod, but being a chaser lechem, a guy who in his home he has nothing there because he doesn't have anything. Now, this definitely is a euphemism for Torah, right? To have a little bit of bread and not a lot of honor, because you learn on your own, you do your own thing or whatever it is much better than being that guy who's mischabed. Everybody honors you, but you don't have a lot to say. You don't have anything else to say. You hear speakers sometimes they're speakers, so they know what to say when it comes to speaking. But are they really filled with the Torah that they should be having? Sometimes that might be a little bit lacking. You got to be careful with that. Yodia tzadik nefesh behemto. A tzadik knows the life of his behema. Rachamim Roshayim Achzari. The compassion of the wicked are actually cruelty. In other words, a tzadik knows the nefesh behemto. He knows what to do when his behema needs something. This is the line that was used, by the way, by Rebbe Akiva's wife. When Rebbe Akiva's wife was, Rebbe Akiva came back with his 24,000 Talmidim, right? And his wife came in and they said to her, you know, you can't, your husband is not going to recognize you. You can't wear these rags to go greet your husband after all these years. Rachel said back, Yodea Nefesh, Tzadik Nefesh Behemto. The tzaddik will immediately recognize me. He'll know the nefesh of his behema, meaning referring to herself. Unbelievably deprecating, right? Self-deprecating, right? But that's who Rachel was. Rachel understood what her role was in life, and it really was to be Rebbe Akiva's wife and to make sure he had what he needed at that time.
But she wasn't really doing anything for those 24 years.
Yeah, I always understood there had to be something going on. I know how Chazal put it. There's no way he had nothing to do with her. They weren't that far away from one another. They were literally maybe a day's walk apart from where they were from one another. So to say that they had nothing to do with each other, I don't quite get. I know Rechaim Shmulevitz's famous line, that Rabbi Kiva came back, and after 12 years, and he overheard, right, if he would only go for another 12 years, so he turned around immediately, and he went. It's really from the Gemara, and Rechaim Shmulevitz asks, why don't you just go in, say hello, and then go back? And he says, 12 plus 12 is not 24. And I get it. I totally get that. But it makes no sense to me. They were literally a day apart. You don't mean to tell me that she didn't go on a Yom Tov? I just one yom tov, just go there. It's one day's walk. It really is not that far.
Mine's a modern invention. They didn't have that. You learned every day.
I know. I guess so. I really don't get it. I really don't get it.
There is no Venus Modern.
The only thing I had is that it was a Shas Chayrim. Shas Chayrim means it was an emergency situation in which you couldn't get from one area of Eretz Yisrael to the other, and therefore they were locked. It depends on when Rabbi Kiva lived. We know Rabbi Kiva died in 132. We know he was around 100, maybe 120 when he died, which means he was around the times of the Churban Beis Hamikdash. It's possible it was a Shas Chayrim and she literally couldn't travel. I just find it so unlikely because, again, she was living in Gamzu, which was a city in the southern part of Eretz Yisrael. He was in Yavne. It's really like next to each other, and even if they were up north at some point, maybe she moved, maybe he moved.
He died in 132, you said?
132, yeah, because it's Bar Kokhba rebellion.
And wait, and that 24 years started when he was 40.
Maybe, I have a raya possibly from the Yushalmi that he learned by Nachmish Gamzu when he was 40 until he was about 50. He had children, whatever it was, and then he went out to yeshiva after the Churban Beis Hamikdash. Because if you think about it, if you say he died in 132 and he lived 120 years, that means he was born in 12, right? 40 years would be 52.
Right.
If he would have been 24 years, you mean during the 24 years, the Churban Beis Hamikdash happened and he didn't go home to his wife? That's crazy talk. Maybe, his war. Like, of course you would find your wife.
That might be a reason why he couldn't go back. Because
I understand, but you'd pull her away beforehand, you'd have to do something. It seems more likely that he spent 10 years with his wife having his kids. He had four kids that we know about. We know about Rabbi Yeshua, we know about Rabbi Shimon, yeah, what's her name? We know about Shulamis, and we know about one other boy. We don't know the name of the boy, but we know about those four, right? So it makes more sense that he had the kids, he was around, he paid for a little bit, whatever it was, and went to learn by Nachmish Gamzu, and then he went to Yavne after the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed for 24 years. That makes more sense to me, and it also works out well with the years, because if he was alive then, he went for 24 years, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was the Rebbe, not Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Elazar would have been Talmidim. I have a lot of kashas on the whole thing. Maybe he didn't live 120 years. Maybe the Gemara was being like exaggerating when it said he lived 120 years.
Maybe it was a full life, because even though he...
Yeah. Either way, I don't think it makes any sense that he went for 24 years immediately after they got married. I get the idea behind it, just it seems hard for me. Ovid ad masi yisbalechem, somebody who works his land will always be satisfied with bread. Because listen, you're working hard, you'll get something. Unless you live in Kansas, you know, or, you know, in the Dust Bowl. about 80 years ago. Maradiv Reikim Chaser Lev, somebody who pursues all the vain things in life, you'll be missing out everything.
Chicken Little, right?
Sky is Falling? Yeah.
Well, no.
Oh, you
the
mean
only one who, makes
who will help me make the weed,
yeah,
or whatever. The chicken, yeah, that chicken thing. Chomad Rasha Mitzod Raim, the wicked man, he wants the prey of evil men. Sure, said he can be tamed. But the root of the righteousness eventually will give forth what it needs to do over here. Some say this refers to the sons of Haman, right? The sons of Haman eventually became tzaddikim and learned in Bnei Brak. The feshes, fasai, mokesh ra, right? The wicked man is snared by all what he has with his lips, everything he says, the lies that come out of his lips eventually gets caught with him. Mayetim mara tzaddik, the righteous man comes out of trouble, as we said before, mpirpi ish yisbatov, a man is going to be satisfied with the good things that come out from his mouth. Gemol yedei adam yashiv lo, and payment for your work will be given right to you. Derech avil yashiv. Enough, but the fool, right, the path that he's on is just right in his eyes. He thinks I'm going in the right way. Right? If you listen to Eitza, that's when you become a real chacham when it comes down to it. Some over here say Derech Avil Yashav Einav is referring to Shimshon. Shimshon went with his eyes, and he said, I want that girl, ki yashra be'enai, she's good in my eyes. Chazal say that he saw how pretty she was, and that's why at the end of his life, Shimshon's eyes were gouged out by the plishtim, because he used them to see things that he should not have seen. He was supposed to marry a plishti woman. Didn't mean you have to marry the prettiest plishti woman. That was not the way to go. Evel Biyom.
You're already marrying a goy. You might as well go all the way. I don't understand.
A Kaddish Baruch Hu tells me to marry a goy for whatever reason. Well, we've gone through this before, you know? Like the idea of like the Gadol Hador, the one who was known in his generation to be that way, that everybody's like sitting there and he's like, I want to marry that girl over there. It's a Pella in and of itself. A Pella, absolute wonder beyond wonders.
Hey,
right, but he did it.
Pass, you make the most.
No, that's why. That's why you don't. Got your eyes gouged out at the end. And I think that's the end of that story. You're given a hall pass, make the most of it, and your eyes will be gouged out in the end. Evel Bayom. Just the last days. Yeah, Chas Shalom. Evel Bayom, Yivada Kasoy. A fool's day. Right, is known, a fool's anger, I'm sorry, is known in a day. All you have to do is wait a day, you'll see that the guy gets angry and nothing. Kosa kolon arum, a smart man will be able to conceal the shame that he feels. Yafiach amuni yagid tzedek, guy who breathes forth truth, he will tell over righteousness. Ve'ech garim mirma, a false witness will only be about the sheker and everything like that. That's what's going to be. A liar obviously cannot be believed, even when he gives proper edus, it's never going to happen. Yesh bote kimad kros charev, there's somebody who speaks bluntly. Right? He's a bote. Kimad kros charev. You know what it's like? It's like the piercing of a sword. When a guy speaks bluntly and he's just like, here's the way it is. It's like literally a sword. It's not stabbing a person. You know, they say like, oh, do you want your knife back from my heart? You know, that you just stabbed in me? It's a blunt nail. Like, you got nailed. You just got hit. Like, ouch. L'shon chachamim arpe. But the tongue of the chachamim is the way of healing. They have the ability. So obviously, Rishayim will resort to harsh words in order to get across their point. Well, a tzaddik will be able to say with the Lashon Chacham, they'll say, like, I don't know if that's the right thing to do, right? That's the difference between them. There's a famous medrash on this as well about the lips being the most powerful limb in the body. Sfas emes tikon la'ad, the lips of truth will stand forever. Va'ad argia lashon shaker, a lying tongue lasts one rega. Lasts a moment, that's all it is. Mirma b'lev chorshe ra, there is trickiness, deceit in the hearts of those who want evil. Uliyoate shalom simcha, those who are yoate shalom, they want peace, there's only joy. Because if you're a guy who's going around trying to make peace between each person, everybody likes you. You're a man of simcha. Nobody's going to go around being like, oh, I hate that guy. That guy who keeps trying to tell me to make peace, hate that guy. Right? Everybody likes that person who goes around. Nothing bad will happen to a tzaddik. This is interesting. Chazal say in Brachos, a tzaddik will never see a bad dream. An interesting line. There's another line from the Gemara. A tzaddik will never have a good dream. Chazal explained, it seems to be explained in this way. Tzaddik will never see a good dream so that his brachos and the good things he has are not used up by seeing a good dream and feeling good about the dream. He'll see an okay dream and then he'll have good things happen to him in his life. Others say he'll never see a bad dream because even a bad dream is a bad thing for a tzaddik. He doesn't want to wake up and get upset and whatever it is. He won't even see something like that. Rishayim malu ra. But the Rishayim are filled with evil. Within them, there's only evil. There's only bad things that's going around, etc. It says in Pasuk Chav Beis, Tuavas Shem Siv Seh Shoker, as we said before, our third abomination of God, our lying lips. No, the Ratzon of Hashem is to do things with trustworthiness, to be trusted. You can trust me to do X, Y, and Z. Adam Arun Kosadas, a very tricky man, a smart man, I should say, conceals his knowledge. But the heart of fools, they call and say, look what I know. I know everything. I can tell you everything in the world. And obviously it's not there. Some say it also refers to saying bad news. You should not be the bearer of bad news. It's very hard to do that, right? But that's one of the minhagim that we say in English, he passed away. Instead of saying the word he died, right, you say passed away, which is a nicer version of saying a lashanaki, of saying what happened to that person. In the Gemara Pesachim, it seems that even that shouldn't be said. You say like, Baruch Hashem, I'm alive and well, right? When somebody asks you, did X die, you know, that person die, Baruch Hashem, I'm alive and well. That's what the Gemara says, but I don't see anybody doing that. I don't see anybody going the opposite direction. I think we pretty much say it in that way. Yad Kurutzim Tim Shol, the hand of those who are diligent.
In Hebrew, you usually wouldn't say...
what did it say? Kvar Chalachavar?
No, bearing bad news, you say Niftar instead of...
Niftar, very good, yeah.
Which is like Padre
Pamela, exited or exiled, yeah. Now, what's the right word for that? Niftar, like exempted? Padre. Yeah.
Meaning, it's not in this, like, from this world anymore.
Yeah, it's not a good English word, you're right, it doesn't go well. Yad Chorutin Tim Shol, the hand of the diligent, those who work really hard, eventually will rule over. Ramiya Tia Lamas, while all trickery and all whatever it is will be dissolved. Daga Belevi Shashchena, when there's worry in the heart of a man, when there's anxiety, you can knock it down. A good word will make it glad. So some people say it's all one word. When there's worries inside a person's heart, just talk it out with somebody who's going to give you a good word. And then all those worries will dissipate. They'll all go away. You got to say things, okay, whatever it is, right? But get around it. Others say, Daiga belev ish yasi chena. Tell it over to other people. When you talk about it with other people, you'll feel better just getting it off your chest. Others say, Daiga belev ish yasiach. Get rid of it from your mind. Think about something else. Go do something else instead. Right? Go play Fortnite. That's what you should do. Right? Go do something else instead. Then all of a sudden things are better. Right? Please don't. If you get hooked. This guy spends so much money. His mom's dumb as nice. Yeah, you shouldn't. Pazachavav. Yosid Merehu Tzadik. Yosir Merehu Tzadik. A tzadik has an advantage over all of his friends. Right? And that's because he's a tzadik. He has greater things than what his friends have. Derech Rishayim Tas'eim. But the ways of the Rishayim will fool them. It will lead them to go astray. It will cause them to go in the wrong direction. Lo Yakrosh Ramiya Tzedo. A man of deceit. That's Ramiya, right? Lo Yakrosh Tzedo. He'll never have any trappings, any animals that he can roast, that he can bring into a barbecue. V'hon Adam Yakar Charutz. While the diligent man, a person who really works hard, he will have a lot of precious wealth. V'orot Tzedakah Chaim, right in the way of Tzedakah, that's life, that's the way of charity, etc. V'derech Nesiva Al Mavis. And a way where you have a proper path, there is no death. Al Mavis. There will not be any death in such a person, because the person's really working hard to make sure that it goes in the right direction. Should we start Perek Yud Gimel? Does that make sense?
Yeah. Four minutes.
Yeah. All right, maybe there is a stopping point. Maybe we can get to Pasuk Ches. Ben Chacham Musar Av, a Ben Chacham, a wise son, right, is somebody who listens to the Musar of his dad. Some say it's Musar Av, the Musar of his own desires. He gets Musar on his own desires. But late lo shama gara, but a scorner will never hear rebuke from anybody else. Me pri pi ish yochal tov. A man will eat what's good by the fruit of his mouth. Menefesh bogdim chamas, but the soul of the treacherous, the faithless, is for violence. He always wants to do more. The idea behind this over here is really, if a kid is a good kid, it very likely comes from the father. Not a guarantee, but it could come from the dad, right? As opposed to a treacherous one, a person who's not so good, right? That guy also probably learned it from his father. When a person has a certain aspect in his life, it most likely came from his dad in certain ways. I don't want to say something, but there's still something that I do even today, which is the dumbest thing in the world. But I saw my dad do it, and I still do it. It's not us, sir. It's just something that I keep doing. That was something that I noticed when I was growing up. Yeah, what's that mean?
You might be able to read this. Ben Chacham Musar Av. A wise son is a Musar for the father.
Oh, very good.
You're not allowed to be a Musar to your father, but if somebody's
that's
wise,
exactly
you can do
idea.
It in a way that his father would learn.
And it's like, not only that, because if you look at the son, right, you can tell if the father, right, was a good father or a bad father. That's the idea. Musar Av. It's Musar back to the dad. See what that son is? Now, obviously, it's not always. You can see great tzaddikim who have sons who are unfortunately not there, and you can find great rishayim whose sons are tremendous tzaddikim. Avadeh, you can find stuff like that. But nonetheless, I like that. That's really, really good.
The parsha this week and the next few weeks, and you see, like,
Eliezer goes to Rivka, and she's a very, you know, chesed and everything.
Yeah.
And her brother's the exact opposite. Mm. And then there's a Gemara that says, you want to check out a girl, look at her brothers.
Right.
Then you look at, and so he, so ostensibly Yitzchak knew how bad Lavan was, because Rivka knew who Lavan was.
Yeah.
But yet he still sends Yaakov to go there to marry his daughters. How did he know so his daughters crazy, were right? the same as their dad?
See at the end of Toldos, very quickly, just look at this line over here. The brother of Rivka, Aim Yaakov Esav, who is the mother of Yaakov and Esav.
Right.
Isn't that weird? Do we not know right. that Rivka is the mother of Yaakov and Esav? So Rashi says, Eini Yodea Mama Lamdeinu. I don't know what that teaches us. So Rashi says.
Right.
Okay? Unbelievable Rashi. What does that mean? It's the Be'er Basadu. It's a tremendous parish on Rashi. One of the Yidalaf Mforshi Rashi. He says, the pshat was, is that normally you look at the brother of the mother to see what the child is like. So I would want to know what Lavan is, but I don't know what Lavan is because Rivka is the mother of Yaakov and Esav. Yaakov's a good guy, Esav's a bad guy, and Lavan's the brother. So what's Lavan like? He said to Yaakov, I don't know. I don't know what Lavan's like because it could be like you, it could be like Esav, I have absolutely no idea. So therefore Rashi says, Eini yodea ma mamdeinu. Since Rivka is the mother of Yaakov and Esav, I don't know what that teaches us about Lavan. Isn't that crazy? That's like the Be'er Basadu. It's a great shot. But I think that that reads to your line of how you go through it.
But then also he's telling him then to roll the dice.
Yeah.
He's saying, rolling like, the dice. He's saying go to pot. I don't know, you might have with a good girl, might not. Flip a coin.
See what happens. All right, we'll stop right here, guys. Okay. It is pretty cool.